Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, it is. It's the early line right here on SportsGrid on a Thursday morning. And Kevin Walsh joined by Donnie Wrightside for maybe DRS, the most packed 2 hours we've ever tried to do.
It could be. And also, about 30 minutes of this we're going to spend trying to find where Kucherov is at today and see what he's up to see if he can work on putting shots on goal here. Because, we like to open the show and have some fun. A nice little boost yesterday on the game. Vasilevsky gets some saves. He got it. McKinnon needs a point. He gets that right away. I'm like, man. The easiest one out here is just one of your star players just to put the puck on the net. And after two periods, I was ready to start texting out there. But where's this guy at? Is he playing? Oh, boy.
You're waiting for a little Kucherov injured lower body thing to come up and like, oh, he's not even out. Well, so just so people know, because we're going to start the U.S. Open. It's getting underway, but we want to talk about it a little bit here. 7-7 is going to put on pause. We'll get to all the top stuff just basically as the show carries on. But Colorado took game number one last night against Tampa Bay, 4-3 in overtime. It was 3-1 at the end of the first period, a scoreless third period. It was a really exciting game, but there was a great odds boost. Vasilevsky had well over 25 saves. He actually went over his saves prop. And the McKinnon point, as I said, came early. Like, all of a sudden, I'm up there reading rules. I'm like, now what's a shot on goal? I mean, it was near the net. Like, why does it have to be saved? Leave me alone.
Yeah, how about you just fire a couple pucks into the crowd? That's one, that's two, that's three over there. But I was kind of, because I think four or five guys on the Lightning actually had three or more shots on goal yesterday. So it was kind of, and also, let me correct this. Was it three or more shots, or did he have to get 3.5 shots yesterday? Because quite honestly, I mean, I'm not even doing a bit here. I actually thought during the game, like, I got to get to four. I don't know change it. Change the rule readings or something. Jeez.
Look, at the end of the day, he wasn't getting there on either number, right? So that wasn't the downfall. Which one he needed, I guess we'll never know. We'll talk hockey at the start of hour number two, but again, the Avs did take game number one. But we want to talk about the U.S. Open. Right now, the outright board is going to be moving around here. The live odds are off and running as the U.S. Open is going to be getting underway. Rory's the favorite. JT, John Rahm round out that top three. Scotty Scheffler's up there. There's a lot of good stuff. I wanted to start with this, though. Boosts around the U.S. Open. Now, there was a make-the-cut parlay. That's already come off the board. Don, I'll throw it to you. Let people know who's on that. And there's another one that's still available. You're going to have about 15 minutes or so to get on a three-ball boost. Let the people know a little bit about those those boosts out there on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
All right, see, now that they're getting taken off the board, most people would say, like, hey, Don, you know exactly what your bets actually are. So let me hold on here just a few moments and log in on the show.
As somebody get in my FanDuel account. Is it Finau, Rory, and Zalatoris?
No, he's not on there. See, now you're confusing everybody. Yeah, he's not on there.
No?
So hold
Who's on
no.
there? I no, mean, right, come on.
I'm logging in. Let's see.
Wait a minute. I got a screenshot of it. Hold on.
All right, here we go. Yep.
It's Rory, Zalatoris, and Finau. Hey, this guy's
yes for the cut.
Man. I did remember.
I'm talking about the three balls. I mean, you're throwing a couple different things at me at once here early in the morning. The three ball one is Justin Thomas and John Rahm to win their round one three ball at +400. And then the other one is McIlroy, Zalatoris, and Finau all to make the cut at a +110. I'm in on both of those, but it's funny because they take them down right away at 7 o'clock. So you ask me like, which one is it? I'm like, you know what, Kev? I don't even know which one it is. I took it and I don't even know which one it is. So there it is right there.
Good luck to you trying to follow these and see how you do. All right, the radio audience is here on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh writes, I was talking about the U.S. Open. The make the cut boost is off the board. The three ball boost is still on the board there involving Rahm and JT. I wanted to bring up, there's a lot of intrigue around Jordan Spieth, who's actually still one of the favorites when you talk about the top of the odds board there. 27-1, he's inside the top 10 odds to win this outright. But he was taken down from what I saw in the missed cut markets. And I think that's because the word is he's got a tough stomach bug. Now, I'm seeing early morning that he's there at the course. But if that maybe stomach bug lingers around, maybe a guy again with top 10 odds in Jordan Spieth isn't going to be able to finish this out. Certainly not play at the level he desired.
No, certainly not. And that's a tough scene here because also, I mean, you're talking about 5 to 5.5 hour rounds sometimes. This isn't a shotgun tournament like we have out in the LIV Golf Invitational. Sure. So you're going to be out there a while. And if you're struggling in the heat here on the East Coast, that's never a good thing because also forget about how you're feeling. What about the fatigue factor here, right? Everybody knows you had that sick feeling before. Man, I just try to grind it out as I sit at a desk here and go over a couple hour show. You're talking about actually performing in front of fans in a major for 4 to 5 hours. That's not a good sign here for Jordan Spieth.
Well, I mean, you said you're grinding it out. Are you all right?
Yeah, like I'm trying to equate myself to a pro athlete. Like, I mean, look, if I have the stomach bug and I'm here on the show, I'll get through it. So, come on, Spieth, get through it.
So you're not all that impressed with Spieth, Don. In fact, you want to bet him to make the cut because he should be fine. There's really nothing to complain about. What's even his stomach bug?
He should be locked in right now. Yes.
He needs to be extra motivated. I see what you're bringing to the table here. The last thing I wanted to bring up, if there was anybody on the outright board that you were kind of closely following, yesterday we talked to Cam. He mentioned that he's really interested in Justin Thomas. I'm interested in Scottie Scheffler, world number one. There's a gap between him and the top three and Rory, JT, and Rahm. And I'm wondering if that's maybe a little disrespect here at the U.S. Open. Quickly, anybody on the outright board you're following?
Dustin Johnson, I mean, sitting there at 33-1, a guy that's won majors before, maybe that extra chip on his shoulder, he should be able to do well this week.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff at the U.S. Open. We'll talk NBA Finals next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Boston Celtics is back in action tonight. We will reset those odds in just a moment, but yesterday we had another trade in the NBA. This one, certainly noteworthy here. The Rockets traded Christian Wood, who averaged a double-double for the Rockets this past year, 18-10, to the Dallas Mavericks. They brought back the 26th overall pick, Boban, shout out Boban, Trey Burke, Marquise Chris, as well as Sterling Brown. Now, Boban, Trey Burke, I mean, could those guys matter? Maybe. But really, what you're seeing here is Christian Wood nets the Rockets back a first-round pick. Dallas, we've said they need to put more guys next to Luka Doncic. Is Christian Wood an all-star? Not really. But a guy that averaged 18-10 is certainly nothing to ignore there. This is a nice little addition here, I think, for the Dallas Mavericks. Certainly a more immediate contributor than anybody they were going to be drafting at 26 overall.
Yeah, not a bad thing. And, you know, sometimes in the NBA, you look to move those picks later in the first round, which we know the Sixers are trying to do as well for established veteran players. It's just nice to see a league that says, you know what? I don't know who I'm going to get at 26 or, you know, whatever the draft pick would be, but let me trade it for an established veteran who's performed on the court. Isn't that exactly what you're supposed to do? Mm-hmm. So I can't come on here today and say, oh, Dallas Mavericks should be looking bigger than that. Anytime you add to your team, that's going to make your team better overall. I'm with it here. So I don't mind the deal at all. And I think it makes a lot of sense here for the Dallas Mavericks.
So though the idea of they should be looking bigger than that, that's always the difficult spot because who's going to be out there? Are your picks going to ultimately be competitive enough? Is the 26th pick going to make the difference? But also, what if you do miss out on those guys that might come available? What if none of them come available? So then you miss out on a guy like, again, a Christian Wood, who maybe could give you, again, gives you 18-10. That's very solid, right? And maybe this team isn't necessarily in the immediate future going to be able to put a legitimate, clear-cut second all-star next to Luka Doncic. Christian Wood, Jalen Brunson, you kind of just start to get as many guys in the room as possible. So, again, it's a solid move on the Rockets side of it. Sure, Christian Wood's got 1 year left on his deal.
they're a really, really bad basketball team that's probably better off drafting in the first round as often as they can.
And also, Kevin, you know this, I'll play into you right here. Nice morning. We have some fun here with the NBA. Bigger day yesterday. Christian Wood, Christian Cage.
Oh, I mean, let's say Christian Cage had a big day. I mean, Chris, he had a big day. We got to call it like we see it. We start to break it down right here. I mean, Donnie's open. I mean, I should have put the Young Bucks in the 7-7 there.
Should have.
First ever two-time AEW Tag Team Champions. Yeah. But we will leave it right there.
Whatever they call them.
Concertos. You got it, though. Look, here we go, though. Game six of the NBA Finals is in action tonight. Celtics are a four-point favorite, a little under minus 170 on that money line, 210. Hour number two, we're previewing the whole deal. I want to once again reset, though, the series market overall. Golden State's minus 400. Boston is plus 300. Steph's minus 360 finals MVP. You can bet this, Golden State team to win it in seven if you're interested, plus 145. There's a number of different ways to attack it right now here on this board. I think we're at a point in time where if you're betting, you're probably just going game to game with at max two left. Anything about the outright overall markets catching your attention?
Hasn't moved all that much, but I do want to ask you one thing, because I know the Golden State Warriors, we were talking yesterday, they did move to that minus 400 price. But correct me if I'm wrong, were the Celtics a little bit better priced even at that minus 400? Or excuse me, the Golden State Warriors at the minus 400. Weren't the Celtics like a plus 310 yesterday or higher? Did that drop down to an even three, or am I just not imagining that?
You're not. Basically, the movement has been Boston has gone from plus 320 down to plus 300, and Golden State has not moved. Though somehow to kind of correlate with that. So that this is just Golden State's minus 400. Boston is now plus 300. That is where this sits. Again, if you want to bet Boston at 3-1, I think you should. And by the way, you actually could get plus 310 if you bet Celtics in seven. We always talk about this, but on FanDuel, you want to make sure you pick the exact market.
It's true.
But I know you could bet and hedge, right, if they force the seventh game. I think you'd just be better off betting than game number six. But I don't mind trying to bet to win at 3-1. I've said this each and every day since. I still think the Celtics are going to win this series. They're favored tonight. You carry over a plus 300 money line into game number seven. You feel nice about yourself there. And if you really, really want to hedge, maybe in game during game number seven, if Boston takes which we've seen plenty of times, a 10-point lead, all of a sudden you get Golden State at plus 145, now we can start to talk a little bit.
Yes, and I think that makes a lot of sense also. And we also have to remind ourselves, because even though we're approaching game six, and I do think the Celtics will win, we'll break that down a little bit later of why I think that. But when you head into a game seven, it's a little bit different than, you're favored in game four, game five, where it's not a closeout situation. When the pressure is on, and not to say like the Celtics would have the advantage in game seven, they clearly won't, because the Golden State Warriors will have home court advantage. But anything can happen, Kevin. We've seen it so many times in game sevens where one guy just goes unconscious, and maybe it's a guy like an Al Horford who knocks down five triples in game seven. Like, what are you going to do about that here? And maybe Klay Thompson is off or Steph Curry is off. That's why I do think it's the better route for me. As I want to approach it, where, again, it would have been nice yesterday if you had the 310 or the 320, but taking that plus 300, if I think the Celtics win tonight, you're right. It opens up so many opportunities for pregame betting, live game betting, whatever you want to do, where you can guarantee yourself money as long as the Celtics win game six.
Yeah, I think the other thing, again, is if Boston does win tonight, can Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart do enough to where we go into game seven and it's basically not Steph versus Tatum, winner of the game wins finals MVP. Because I don't think Tatum has in any way, shape, or form ran away and hid from his counterparts on the Boston Celtics when we talk about winning finals MVP. In hour two, we will talk a lot about the props, but I want to talk about the boost right now on FanDuel that involves Klay Thompson. You know the narrative. It's there for a reason. Game six, Klay. I got to give the FanDuel Sportsbook credit. They've got me thinking long and hard here about this Klay Thompson boost. Klay to score 10-plus points in any quarter in Game 6, plus 230. All you need is one hot Klay quarter, a couple of threes, trip to the line, make a layup on the way in.
at plus 230. Are you interested in Game 6 Clay tonight?
I am interested in Game 6 Clay, but as I scroll through, now I'm going to ask you a question here to sort of set my argument up. If we're looking at he needs 10 points in any one of these quarters, which quarter do you believe he gets that 10 points in, or you think has the higher probability?
You know, I got to tell you, I think Clay's kind of is a little more unique in that I wouldn't necessarily say it has to be one specific. Doesn't Clay, it's just whichever quarter he wakes up. To be honest with you, I think it might say third quarter.
I'm going first quarter in this one because when you talk about Game 6 Clay or a guy getting hot, now hear me out. Like the odds boost, will, you know, it will decipher if that makes some sense. But if I say to myself, what do you usually start a game out and you say, oh, he's on one of these right now. 2 for 3 in the first quarter, 3 for 4, one of those like, oh, he's going to have one of those big time Game 6. Mm-hmm. If you look at the first quarter for Klay Thompson is over, Kevin, 5.5 at a plus 112. I love that bet. Like if you think he's going to get 10 points in a quarter, which means he's probably on it already, I'm under the guise that he is going to open up first possession of the game, drop a 3-point shot, and you're like, okay, here he goes. He'll probably get the 10 in the first quarter, but easily cover that 5.5 at a plus money place at plus 112. I love that bet. 10 points? What's that, 3 triples in a quarter? He can get it, and if I think he's going to get it, Kevin, I actually think he gets it in the first quarter.
There is a first quarter points prop that I'm pretty interested in tonight. Is it Clay's? Maybe. We'll see. That's hour number two. Coming up, though, here on the early line, they're still paying more people in the NFL. Was it Terry McLaurin? No chance it was Terry McLaurin. We'll talk about it all next right here. We are live on SportsGrid on a Thursday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Catches the bag from the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is perfect because yesterday we were talking Steelers here, Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky. We didn't necessarily have the full time that we wanted to talk about their win total, the expectations for Trubisky. When could the baton be handed to a Kenny Pickett? We'll start with just the fact that they did pay again Minka Fitzpatrick, a player who they traded for from the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, the expectation was for Fitzpatrick to be solid. I think he exceeded those expectations immediately, and he's continued to prove to be a guy that the Steelers covet. Paid him a lot of money, one of the top young safeties in the, really, not young, just safeties, period, in the sport. What did you make of the decision for Pittsburgh to go out there and make sure they are keeping Minka Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, there's two things to this, too, because I think it's kind of wild where you usually think of how you work your way through a salary cap on a football team, right? Is, you know, your left and right tackle, your quarterback, your cornerbacks, elite defensive ends, and usually the guys that are like left over, like, okay, you know, we need you, linebackers. All right, safeties, yeah, we still need you as well, but almost in that pecking order where now you're seeing guys at the safety position making close to $20 million a year. And also, credit here for Minka Fitzpatrick and his agent for understanding the marketplace. And what I mean by that, Kevin, is when you go out and you trade a first-round pick at his organization, and you also saw it with the Seattle Seahawks, when you go make a move for like a Jamal Adams where he goes out, one of the better safeties in the league, but you give up a lot of draft capital, there's no way, and your agent knows this, that they're going to let you walk after a year or two when your contract is up because you just spent a first-round pick, and that's a negative return on investment at that point here. So him getting that big deal is almost coincided with, yes, he's a good football player, but at the same time, the Steelers had to rationalize saying, well, we gave up a first-round pick. We can't just let the guy walk or say, oh, he's a good football player, but let's let him go. You had to sign him, but those are eye-popping numbers for a safety approaching $20 million. Like it used to be elite cornerbacks made like $11 million a year. Now safeties are getting close to 20. Marketplace has advanced here. It's pretty wild.
Minka Fitzpatrick ultimately received a 4-year extension that was worth over $18.4 million per year, which was the highest paid, being some of the highest paid safety in the history of the NFL. I think paying Minka Fitzpatrick, though, kind of confirms something that we already know about Pittsburgh, but maybe not every single move that they've made suggests that they want to be competitive. But we know they want to be competitive. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a prideful organization. Last year, we continually talked about the fact that, you know, Mike Tomlin has never been under 500. Their win total this year is 7.5. So he could be under 500, and you could still go over that. But certainly people that trust Mike Tomlin are going to be looking to go over 7.5. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the worst odds to win that AFC North. Despite last year going into the playoffs, they lost Ben Roethlisberger. The expectation is Trubisky's going to start. I'm not sure if I love that decision. You're seemingly good with it. Regardless, that's what it's going to be. So let me start with this. Now, obviously, the schedule, it probably will play a big role in this. So I'll pull that up if you kind of need some of the specific details. But do you think the goal for Pittsburgh is to have Kenny Pickett take over at some point during this year, or maybe sit out the entire rookie season?
I don't necessarily know if there's an actual game plan for Kenny Pickett, because the Steelers operate quite differently than a lot of organizations. And I said this yesterday, they're about winning football games. And Grant, this isn't about, you know, a slander to the Steelers by saying, well, they don't look towards their future. No, I'm not saying that. But they take a look at one of those teams that, you know, we talk about the Baltimore Ravens in the preseason, like they care about the game. Well, the Steelers care about every single game and don't want any slip away. Who gives me the best chance to win this football game on Sunday as opposed to next year, week two? Is it going to be better if I put Kenny Pickett in now and then we'll win next year? They don't look at it like that. So from a team win perspective, I think it makes sense on the Steelers. But also, let's remind ourselves, when you're looking at the Steelers as a whole here, and can they get the 8 wins, which is crazy, which Mike Tomlin never has a losing season. So you're betting that out. Just saying that yourself, say, okay, I'm going to take that total over. But when you look at that division, the AFC North, where we know the Steelers are a plus 850 price tag here to win that, here's the interesting part. There's no free wins anymore, Kevin. Remember all those years, and this isn't a knock on the Steelers. This means they're a very good franchise, where you said to yourself, man, Cincinnati stinks. That's 2 wins. Man, the Cleveland Browns stink. That's 2 wins. We'll split with the Ravens, and we have a good season underway. If you're technically last in your division in that odds race at plus 850 compared to, you know, it's not like it's plus 850, the next guy's 800, and then 750, and then a leader. No, it's the Ravens at 160, it's the Bengals at 200, and it's the Cleveland Browns at 270. So theoretically, they're going to be underdogs in the majority of those games. This is an uphill climb for the Steelers. So even though we see that low total, say, boy, that's a real low total for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is it really that low when you see everybody in the division is basically better than you are?
That's the thing for Pittsburgh, right? Is it's hard to argue them as your top choice in the division. I'll give it to you like this, right? Watson's out for the year, Jacoby Brissett for 17. Mm. I think the Browns are probably still in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is Jacoby Brissett versus Mitchell Trubisky a debate that anybody's really desperate to have? I'm not so sure. I think the Browns would probably overall still get the roster nod, wouldn't they?
Let me ask you a question on this one, because this is, you know, maybe the saving grace and maybe a monkey wrench in one of our arguments that we have. Is it better off for the Cleveland Browns? Let's just say, hypothetically, Friday, tomorrow, suspension comes down for Deshaun Watson. It's 10 games. Do you then pick up the phone and say, you know what, Jimmy Garoppolo, you're not going to be our future starter, but if you want to make a good imprint on this game and say, okay, over 10 games, you go 7-3, you don't have to put up great stats, just be an effective quarterback. Then you move to the bench. Next year, you'll probably be a starter in demand. Is that one of those moves that could, because forget about Baker Mayfield. He's not going to, they got Baker on. They just will keep Baker. No, that's not happening here. But maybe, because it's an interesting point you bring up where you say, Jacoby Brissett steps in there. Are they still a good football team? You're all about your quarterback. Can he manage the game? I mean, I guess he can, but that's not a good football team with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. It's not.
Here's the thing, though, and it's reasonable for you to not like the plan, but you don't bring Jacoby Brissett in, lose Watson, and be like, all right, we don't know what we're doing at quarterback. Like, don't you think clearly that the reason that they basically brought them in almost as like a tag team. They're like, all right, yeah, Jacoby, you understand, right? Like, you are our quarterback. If our actual quarterback is suspended, and that's the plan the entire way. That's kind of my read on that situation for the Browns. I think the Browns would still be in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, maybe the Steelers' odds at plus 850 would maybe move to plus 750, or so, right? Because, you know, the Browns have to come back a little bit. But I really think you're seeing a situation where Pittsburgh is just going to definitively be booked as a last-place team. I know that this is always the spot that people look for with a rookie quarterback. When's your bye week? Week 9. So 8 weeks of football, right? Maybe for Trubisky to hold him off. At Cincy, home versus New England, at Cleveland, home versus the Jets, at Buffalo, home versus Tampa, at Miami, at Philly. I don't know if this team has juice to be a road favorite really anywhere. Home games against Tampa, the Jets, and the Pats. Again, it's early. Is 4-4 enough for Mitchell Trubisky to keep his job?
Yes, it is.
I think so.
Yes, it is.
Is
yeah, because I think that line, I don't mean to cut you off there, but I think that line would be 500 or better. The Pittsburgh Steelers would say, okay, we're in the playoff race. We could still have a winning season. That's always the goal, get in the playoffs. But if they're under 500, I don't think Trubisky plays past that point. So I think that's that bye week at week 9 is interesting because it's not bye week 3, right? Bye week 9, if you're 4-4, I think Mitchell Trubisky gets the nod. If you're below 500, I do think Kenny Pickett gets in.
Let me throw, all right, so let me ask you this. Let's say they're 3-5, right? And that's because they're the next two games that are home versus New Orleans and home versus Cincinnati. Not saying they're easy games, but you love that you're home at least maybe for the kid.
Yes.
If he comes in, Donnie, and plays week, you know, it'd be week 10 to week 18, and he does end up leading them to the playoffs, wild card spot, you know, 9-8 ends up getting you in this year, right? 9-8 ends up getting you in. Is there a world that he could still win Offensive Rookie of the Year because he's a quarterback? Or would missing 8 games eliminate him from that conversation?
I think it would probably eliminate him because we had that like Mac Jones argument, right? Just get into the playoffs, make the playoffs, and you should be good to go. I don't think that's going to be enough because as we see now the advent of the wide receiver coming in, you get a full 17 games out of some of these rookie wide receivers. They're putting up some serious numbers as opposed to and also we're talking about a Steelers organization that when they did this with Big Ben 20 years ago, this wasn't, hey, Big Ben, throw 40 times a game. It was like, okay, you're a rookie. You're going to learn on the job. We're going to keep this on the ground. We're going to play good defense, and we're going to manage these games for you. It's almost like what you saw in New England with Mac Jones through, quite frankly, the later part of the season. That's the way I see it playing out here. But that under 500 at that, it looks like the perfect time. And also, as you said, coming out of the break, is there any better time to do that than back-to-back home games here where you get that support? If it was on the road in New Orleans and on the road at, like, Tampa Bay, like, whoa, all right, maybe we need to slow it down a little bit. But I don't think that's the case. I think that's the perfect landing spot for him, to be honest with you.
I almost wonder if it's kind of such a nice landing spot. Do they do what the Dolphins did with Tua? Remember Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing great football, and Brian Flores was like, yeah, thanks, but that's obviously irrelevant to us long-term. Tua's in. To where they just basically tell Trubisky, hey, look, you got 8 weeks of football. Hopefully you put some good stuff on your resume, but that's it. Week 10, Kenny Pickett's going to be the guy. And maybe that allows Kenny Pickett to know when his entry point is. That'd be interesting if they approach it that way.
And by the way, we only have a couple of seconds here left in the segment. One of the best coaching moves I've ever seen in my entire life was Brian Flores doing that, saying, this is for the health of the franchise to do this, even if the fans didn't like it. And if the Steelers did that, I think it would be a great move.
Be interesting to follow there. Again, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a 7.5 win total. Tomlin, never under 500. It's going to be a really interesting season in Pittsburgh. Quick break, the early line is live.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're going to get to Major League Baseball in a second. There's an NFL story I simply can't let pass by, if only because I want Donnie's reaction to it. That's a little headline pops up. Julian Edelman not ruling out retirement. Kind of ask the question of, do you want to go and play with Tom Brady again? Now, you pause it right there, right? You got to imagine that his answer is basically going to be like, listen, I'd love to play with Tom. I don't know what I got left in the tank. If he called me, though, I'd have to consider it. You know, chance to win a Super Bowl. And Julian Edelman's like, never say never. But honestly, if I come back, I'm probably going to Foxborough. to play with the New England Patriots. Is he crazy? I mean, don't, you mean to tell me same dollar amount? The Bucs call him, the Pats call him. He's going to go play in Foxborough? What am I even reading here, Donnie?
I don't know, but in my background, sometimes you get a wider shot there. It has my old college football helmet. I should probably pick that up and put that on my head and think, you know what? New head football coach, which there is at William Patterson University. Maybe I'm going to give it a go one last time. I never took a redshirt year, Kevin, right? So maybe this could be a redshirt senior season for me that I may be able to pick it up. But I don't know what Julian Edelman's doing. Maybe having some fun, maybe weighing it out. If maybe Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do call. But how much could you have? Like, this is one of those guys that was a crash test dummy out there. Left it all on the field, injured all the time, playing through some stuff. Man, enjoy that retirement. Because why would you come back and play with Mac Jones in New England? I don't have any idea why, but I don't put it past some of these athletes here. If there's a market to come back and make a lot of money, maybe you do it. But, man, I would just be enjoying my retirement. From wide receiver to wide receiver here, Julian, we both probably got the same bank account, so I'm not looking to come back. Why are you?
But, again, if you heard that Julian Edelman's going to come back, like Donnie, like you know how Aaron Rodgers' request sheet is just like, hey, get me Jake Kumerow and Randall Cobb.
Yes.
Like if Brady's like, listen, just sign Jules like week 15. You know what I mean? Just, you know, just I just want to do this one more. Like this is my last year. Me, him, and Gronk, right? Edelman's like, all right, fine. I'll stay in enough shape. No problem. Him trying to come back for a full 17 with Mac Jones. Like he wouldn't make the season. Like there's a zero. He'd be like, that was a bad move on my part. If this guy throws the ball at my feet again, I'm gonna lose my mind. I mean, Don, he was checking down in the All-Star game. He was checking down when he was throwing to those bags out there. Remember on the Saturday special?
Well, you talk about a Saturday special in the NFL, and that reason to believe now you get sidetracked about how why we don't need the Pro Bowl anymore. Just tune into that fiasco last year where wide receivers were playing quarterback in skills competitions. But you're right, like Julian, like what are you coming back for? It's not going to be an elite passing offense with Mac Jones. You figure you would go and say, hey, I can be a part-time third down wide receiver. Why not do it? I don't know. In Florida makes a little bit more sense to me.
Yeah, maybe we should be doing a big hot or not. Does this prove that Belichick is better than Brady, that Edelman wants to go back to Foxborough? But I think we'll leave that for other people to maybe dissect today. Because the Major League Baseball board yesterday had 15 games on it. Now this record here that I'm seeing on totals, I mean, it almost brings a tear to my eye. Is this right? Have you double-checked this? Is this
4-11 or 11
to the
and four?
Over?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good one. Is this 11-4 overs yesterday on the Major League Baseball board? 13-0 White Sox. We'll carry it for you. No problem. Blue Jays go over every day. Brewers had double-digit runs. Boston. Folks, I don't know what the Cubs are doing out there. I mean, they are letting the Padres beef up those numbers in an outrageous way. 19-5. Donnie, the overtrain yesterday was in full effect.
Yeah, it was good yesterday. The only one that I got tripped up on here is the San Francisco Giants didn't get their number, but everything else was pretty much on par. And we were talking about it on the shows yesterday, both the early line and money line, saying, look at this. Look at what I'm betting into today, Kevin. A 4.5, a 5.5, and a 5.5. And it's like, oh, man, 6 runs, how do you get that? These guys were touching 5-6 runs by the 5th inning, talking about the Blue Jays and also the Red Sox. Maybe those, because I don't like the, you know, conspiracy. You know, I love conspiracy theories. Who am I kidding here? But come on. Like, out of nowhere, the ball is flying all over the place. Multiple 10-run double-digit games when in the month of April, we were like, man, 3-1, that's real high scoring. I can't believe that happened. But you're right, the Padres there, 19 runs yesterday. And also, one of those topics that keeps coming up now, if you see a game getting out of reach, it's not the NBA. You don't take the team that's behind, figuring the other team doesn't care, because every plate appearance matters. This is how these guys get paid, and you continuously throw. Like Frank Schwindel was throwing yesterday. What is it, Kevin? Over under in an inning with a position player, 2.5 or 3.5. They continue to tack on runs. So that's something to keep an eye on. No longer taking the team needing to come back, taking the team ahead, because the other team's not going to spend on using another pitcher out of the bullpen. They're going to throw it to a position player, unless Buck Showalter has a say in it.
Yeah, that, which is true. I just like Donnie getting hit with truth serum in the middle of his breakdown. Like, who am yeah, I
like, come on, man. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. Yes, I do. Yes, I want to be a conspiracy theorist.
It's all Donnie actually wants. It's maybe yeah, he secretly true. Loves the baseball debate about whether or not things are checking in with integrity there. Let's talk, though, about some of the specific games then that went over or under. Or it depends when you got it, I guess. Yankees-Rays. I mean, you have to talk about this game when you talk about two top Cy Young candidates. Listen, I mean, Aaron Judge, his first at bat. This guy hits one, you know, a country mile, 364, only out in Yankee Stadium. Sets the tempo. But then Kyle Higashioka gets a three-run shot, makes it 4-0. Rays made it close. It was a 4-3 final. But, look, both of these starting pitchers were once again fantastic, but right, the Yankees have won 13 consecutive home games here. This was a push or an over because it did come down to 6.5 at one point, we know. Man, what did you – Donnie, what was the big overall takeaway here? Was it the pitching performances? Was it Judge's homer? Was it the Yankees putting another win on the board? What was the big takeaway for you?
The big takeaway is you look at the Yankees now. Forget about the win yesterday. Forget about, you know, the majority of the last couple weeks here. They're 46-16. The Yankees are 46-16, and this isn't one of those where, you know, if you equate it to like college football, where they play in the FCS, they're unbeaten, they're supposed to be. No, this is Major League Baseball, one of the best divisions here, that you're pounding teams on a day-in, day-out basis. And the thing, as I always like to say about the Yankees, what I like best is each day it's something new. We're going to outpitch you, win a low-scoring game. We're going to out-hit you the next game, drop 10 runs on you. It's impressive what the New York Yankees are doing right now. Quite frankly, I still don't even think, Kevin, that they're playing their best baseball. Like, look at the lineup yesterday that was in there. DJ LeMay was in 256. Rizzo, 218. Stanton, 268. Donaldson, 230. Torres, 250. Hicks, 222. Higashioka had the big hit yesterday, hitting 177. You would think a 46-16 team where everybody is slicing and dicing around a 300 batting average. I don't even think the Yankees are playing their best baseball as a team, and they're 46-16. That's my takeaway.
Which, again, rightfully so. We did this last week. I think they very reasonably could be the World Series favorites at this point. My takeaway is Aaron Judge, though. Finally now is flipped to minus money for the AL MVP at minus 105. Listen, I know we joke about the ballpark, and I understand that, okay? Donnie, he's got 25 home runs, is on pace for almost 70 home runs. And what was the narrative for the first 2 months of the year? Nobody can hit home runs because the ball is completely dead. I mean, this is one of the most impressive seasons you will see when you consider. I mean, he is shouldering the load for this team on a regular basis. Because as you said, like, you can go through that Yankees lineup. You know, you would think, oh, Don's probably doing a bunch of Yankee team totals over the whole lineup hits. Not really. Not really, right? There's plenty of guys in that lineup that maybe don't actually fit the description here. The New York Yankees are a great baseball team, but a lot of that is because Aaron Judge, obviously at a very opportune time, is having what is, again, on pace to be easily the best season of his career.
And he really is. And even like a microcosm yesterday, Kevin, they win 4-3 over the Rays, which is typically a game that the Rays win. Let's not forget, the Yankees had 3 hits and only 2 walks in that game. And they won 4-3. That's what I'm talking about, where the Yankees are beating you every different way. If we take that good old crystal ball yesterday, I say, Kevin, McClanahan's on the mound and you're only going to get 3 hits in this game. Chalk that up. Nice win by Tampa Bay. No. You actually won that game. That's an even bigger story there, because you didn't just beat one of those, oh, give me a Rays opener with Stanek and we'll piecemeal it with Yarbrough and you only got 3 hits. Like, no, you faced the best pitcher in baseball yesterday and you beat him 4-3. That's like a double win there for the Yankees.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Listen, I have to, though, you know, I'm very pleased with my early New York Subway World Series prediction, right?
Very biased.
The thing for the Mets, who sit here... clown comment from you, who sit here with 41-23 is their record, right? Best in all of the National League. Man, this team only has now a 4-game lead in the NL East. Kind of some of that, you know, what the Dodgers have to experience, right? I'm like, oh, great, the Padres are awesome. The Giants don't go away. The difference, though, for the Mets is they had this division buried, and the only way that was going to stop was a double-digit win streak. Well, the Atlanta Braves again, Donnie, 14 wins in a row. Basically, every single day we turn this thing on and DRS breaks it down and goes, yeah, they probably should win again. And they do.
14 in a row now for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, the Atlanta Braves don't even play today, and they're probably going to pick up another victory. That's how scorching hot they are. But if you are the New York Mets, this isn't that long ago we're saying they might be able to run and hide and wait for their starting pitchers to get back. But you're looking at teams like the Braves and the Phillies charging. Like if you are the Mets, you figure like, okay, we have a 10-game lead. If we just go in every 10-game increment, 6-4 overall, we're going to stay, maybe even increase our lead. And then you look behind you and say, now hold on, 14 in a row here for the Atlanta Braves. What are the Phillies? 12 out of 14, something like that, 8-2 over their last 10 playing good baseball. Your lead is leaking. Even you're not even playing bad baseball. It's one thing where you say to yourself, okay, these teams are playing well behind us, but we're 2-8 in our last 10 games. Mm-hmm. This lead's going to go down. But if you're winning overall and you're losing it, and we're talking about not like, okay, they lost one game last week, one game this week. It feels like every day they're losing a game here to the Atlanta Braves, and there's no in streak in order. If you're the Braves, you wish you probably played today, but it is what it is, and the Braves will continue to be smoking and just ride that hot wave.
And look, again, the next three for this team is going to be against the Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. Odds are they'll be favored in all of those games. Then they're going to host San Francisco for four, host the Dodgers for three. It's very interesting, obviously, because those are no slouch, but they're home. Yeah. So they'll now, and I'm not saying that they're going to sweep the Giants, sweep the Dodgers, go out there, win 25 games in a row. The point is, the continuing to primarily win their games, right? Three, you know, two out of every three is kind of always the notion when you talk about, you know, baseball and what the expectations are. And that's the way that this is lining up here for this team. Let me sneak this in quickly. Another no-hitter broke it up in the ninth inning yesterday. Tyler Anderson, Shohei Ohtani showing no love for that. But, you know, in a weird way, we're getting a bunch of overs. We're starting to flirt with no-hitters now, it almost feels like, on a nightly basis.
Yeah, and it seems like the Angels get squared up quite a bit there. So they only get two hits in that game overall. But how about this? Where maybe your manager finally sees the light and says, hey, kid, you're about to do something special here. I know you got over 100 pitches entering into the game and ending up with 123. We'll see if Anderson can actually make it again. Wouldn't you want to save him? He's 8-0 in the season, Kevin. Wouldn't you want to shut him down if there's 71 pitches to make sure he's there in August and September?
Yeah, I mean, a great job by Don. You have to twist that needle there. I mean, so did the Dodgers give up on their World Series expectations? I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, just what was the reason that they let him pitch a bunch? Can I just add this quickly? Tyler Anderson and Tony Gonsolin, okay, are a combined 16-0 this year as starting pitchers. I mean, what even are the Dodgers? I mean, again, like I know sometimes it's like, oh, they're disappointing, but it's to their own. 16-0, Tyler Anderson, Tony Gonsolin, great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's right here on the talking about different things, and now all of a sudden I can't stop thinking about the very first time they dropped the beat on us during an NFL breakdown. I gotta be honest with you.
The show did
peak right then and there. Like, not the, like, people know, like, the best moment of the early Lions history, right? It's not going to the Super Bowl. It's not my tremendous NBA breakdowns. It's the first time they dropped
the
tight beat. Come on now. It's certainly when they made us drop a tight beat. Get over that NFL.
Like, and why was it even so funny? Like, I don't even understand. Like, it just came so far out of left field that it threw the show off the rails. Like, two people, like, being professional doing a show, heard a little music and just couldn't even continue the rest of the segment because of how good it was. Man,
I'm
going
to have to
times.
Go back and dig that clip up there.
Yeah,
with
we
that being said, the U.S. Open is underway. John Rahm is now a co-favorite with Rory McIlroy at 10-1. I'm looking here. That's because he's even. I mean, that's
weird.
Is that all John Rahm needs to do? Like, he's just got to be even there, and all of a sudden it's going to work out. Interesting. They got kind of updated or live round score markets here right now. They've got the make the miss cut. They've got the cut line up already. Look at this.
Jeez.
Five or better, six or worse. Isn't this what you like, though, for majors, where basically the winner is like one over or one under, basically? Isn't this what you want?
Exactly. The U.S. Open is the test of par, right? If you're over par, or under par, I should say, that's a very good score, even if it's minus one or minus two. So I do enjoy that. The struggles of professional golfers saying, okay, if you play golf, you understand the struggles. Most of the time you turn on the PGA Tour, they're 30 under par, it feels like. It's nice to see them struggle a little bit by hitting it into the rough.
Yeah, good stuff there. They've got also the leading score after round one right now. Minus four or better, though, is minus 138. So minus three or worse would be even money there. So they are expecting a nice day to start. We'll see if that ultimately lines up. Hour two, we'll start with the Stanley Cup.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.